My plan for today was to do food prep for the week because we are working in a paddock in the middle of nowhere, so we've got to bring everything to eat. But I don't usually have a lot of energy after work to do stuff, so I try and get it all done on the weekend, and I can't really do anything today because my house has been overrun with some of the most wasted people that you've ever seen in your life.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some pretty wasted people, Sam. It's a pretty high caliber.
That's true. Good point. Well, let me tell you something that just...
I don't want you to underestimate how many wanted cats I've seen. We're 35, so we're not really into party drugs anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I just bought some ADHD medication off the dark web.
Oh, yeah?
That's my idea of fun. It's just like taking heaps of Ritalin and writing a romance novel. It's a good Friday night.
Yeah, so I've fully committed my life now to working in the film industry. I'm going to make a go of it. Doing sewing in all my spare time and also volunteering with the Greens. I did door knocking yesterday.
Oh, fuck yeah, Sam. I can't believe you're working full time and you've decided to spend your free time hanging out with the Greens.
I mean, we'll see how long it lasts. So far, I'm finding it interesting. I'll tell you all about my door knock experience, but let's do a Ainsley check-in first.
Oh, okay.
Look how professional we are.
I know. Yeah. Exactly. Probably the greatest podcast of all time. I kind of wanted to just do a full 180 and flip to just being a Storm appreciation podcast.
We could do that.
I'm obsessed with Storm. I think she's been like just criminally underutilized. She's so much cooler than Superman. She should have her own series that is not connected to any other Marvel characters.
That's true.
It should just be called Storm. The whole Enterprise should just shut down and rebrand itself as a Storm vehicle.
But
anyway,
as we said before, like, she can solve every problem. So there's it's hard to create conflict. You know, it's a good writing challenge, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I just have finished the 26th book in a series. Where the guarantee is that all problems will be overcome. The couple will definitely end up together. So anytime when they're like, she was dying right in front of his eyes, you're like, definitely isn't going to happen. No. If the last 25 books are anything to go by, I'm pretty sure she's going to pull through. Anyway, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
Knowing that it's going to work out fine in the end, like, it still works. Because humans are just, like, the way they work is sort of mysterious. But knowing how something's gone, you know, like, I don't know.
It's like how I love the Final Destination movies because I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
But with slight variations, you know.
Do you know, also, as a kid, when I would get an adult to read me a book, if they got one of the words wrong, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure it says... Because I knew them all off by heart, obviously. Mm-hmm. I didn't need the adult to read them to me. But I still really enjoyed it. Ooh, what's going to happen in the end? Can the Lavender, the library cat, make it through this next adventure?
I think about this sometimes in relation to, like, modern music and storytelling, like films and stuff. Like, there's such a emphasis on things being new and different and original from anything that's ever been made before. But, like, for most of human history, we just all sang the same songs and told the same stories over and over again. And that was, like our way of cementing our communal identity and like blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
and that's just kind of disappeared from culture now.
I think about this all the time in terms of like creativity, where I'll be like, oh, that's a cool thing, maybe I'll make that thing, I'm really interested in that, and then I'll kind of like make basically like as close to or a slight variation on a copy of something else, and people will be like, that's very creative, like you're a creative individual. And I always want to be like, it's so weird, because one of the ideas about like creativity from the past is like not that it's individual,
but
it is actually just like continuing on traditions. Like things are derivative, and that's actually a good thing for things to be.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I love karaoke anyway. So.
Oh, is that why you love karaoke?
Yeah, it's folk music. It's modern folk music.
I just like singing along to things, I guess.
I like seeing different people's renditions of the same song.
Yeah, sure. I don't really care for that. Being in the audience of karaoke isn't like the great time, is it? Though it is,
I think if you
have affection for the person, it is. But if it's a stranger, I'm not really that interested.
Some people put on great performances.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. I just like it when someone puts on like Folk Tale in New York or whatever it's called, and then everyone in the room sings along. And it's like, it's no longer about
this. I don't know what that song is.
Oh, it's a folk song about it's consistently voted most popular Christmas song in the UK, despite containing the word faggot.
Can you hear the munted people in my kitchen doing something?
Screaming.
Fuck me. I'm so annoyed. I just want to cook food for my life, and they're probably destroying everything that I own right now.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I'm sorry that's happening. I hate them.
It's okay. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm okay. I had a shitty couple of days. But a pretty standard shitty couple of days that just happens every now and again, where for some unknown reason, about once every 12 months, it just becomes impossible for me to get my medication.
Yeah.
Like a series of things will just happen. And even though you think that I've prepared for everything, all the preparation won't make any difference. So, like, I'll just give you an example. I had 6 months worth of medication that I got when I was in Adelaide in April. So it was like just about to run out. So a month ago, I was like, okay, it's going to run out at the end of this month when I got my last repeat from the chemist. So I started getting my paperwork together. I made a psychiatrist appointment in Melbourne. I got my discharge summary from the last time I was in hospital. I got a letter from my, doctor in Queensland. I got all of the old scripts and empty boxes together to take to my psychiatrist. And then we went into lockdown, so I couldn't go to my psychiatrist. So that's fine, whatever. I made a doctor's appointment in town. I still had all that stuff, whatever. Anyway, I went to the doctor's appointment and they said, oh, you're on a really high dose. I don't really feel comfortable prescribing this for you. And I was like, that's okay. I've taken the meds for today. I've got medication for tomorrow. This will be fine. Like, we'll just sort it out. You can call my psychiatrist that admitted me and she can call you back, and then I'll come in tomorrow once you've got that information. Like, once you've had a human being confer with you who is a doctor, they were like, well, I was like, you've got the empty box. It's got my name on it, my dose. It's got all the information. Like, you've got the scripts. You can see that there were six repeats. It's been exactly 6 months since the day that I got them. So you can see that I've been taking them slowly over that time. Haven't, like, gone to, I don't know, get any in the meat. I don't fucking know, whatever. The doctor was like, look, I can prescribe you one box, which would last me less than a week. Would cost $28 instead of like $28 for that one box, which would normally be how much it costs me to get my medication for a month. And instead I would have to do that six times, which would be like $170.
Jesus.
So I said, I don't really like that as a plan. This is the reason why I will have to get the script in less than 7 days. Like, it's already taken me 3 days to be here right now. Why don't you just call my psychiatrist and talk to her? The doctor said, I don't have time for that.
Fuck off.
Anyway, I was like, I don't really know what to do. He said, well, you don't seem in distress. Jesus. I was like, well, you haven't asked me, first of all, if I am in distress. You actually haven't asked me what I've even been prescribed this medication for, or when, or how long I've been taking it for, or what the consequences are of not taking it, which, by the way, is renal failure. Like, my kidneys just stop working. They're like, oh, we can't go from the absolute maximum dose of this medication to nothing overnight. It's like a medication you're supposed to titrate off by reducing it by 10 milligrams a day, right? And I take 450 milligrams a day. So that's at least 45 days of titrating.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, this isn't good pod, but I just have to get it out, Sam, because I'm just so over it. So anyway, I was like, okay, well, what I'm hearing is, unless I reach a point of distress, I won't be able to get my medication from you. And he said,
which is like a common thing that happens in a fucking, anyway, go.
And he said, no, that's not the case. I told you I was willing to write you a prescription for one box. I said, okay, I think this is fucking bullshit and I'm going to go. Yeah. And he was like, don't swear at me, whatever. I was like, fuck you. You're terrible. Like, this is a bad system. You're perpetuating a bad system. You're encouraging me to, like, demonstrate that I'm distressed. Like, if I throw a fucking chair through your window and you call the police, I guarantee you that they will come, take me to the precinct and give me the medication I'm asking for. Like, that's a bad system, that it's easier to get arrested to get your meds than to get them from the doctor.
Yeah.
So I left the doctor's. I was, like, super upset. I didn't really know what I should do. I was freaking out. I went to the emergency department. I explained to them what had happened. They were like, this is so dumb. Like, we can't give you your medication, even with all this stuff. We, like, just, that's not what emergency rooms are for. Like, we think it's really stupid, but there's just, like, not that much we can do for you. And I was like, but if I don't get my meds for tomorrow and my kidneys stop working, an ambulance will come to my house and bring me to this same emergency department where you guys will have to, like, intubate me.
Yeah.
Just to get medication that we all agree that I need. And they were like, it's really shit.
Oh, my God.
So it's just like a total nightmare of, like, knowing that there's all these people who know that I need the medication and what they are, like, including my doctor in Queensland, like, and, you know, 6 months ago I went through this exact same thing, right? And what I did was I took all that documentation to a random doctor in Adelaide City on my lunch break, and she was like, no problem, and just wrote me the 6 months' worth of scripts. So it was like a total crapshoot. It's like, am I going to go to a doctor where my life just continues to be normal and fine, or am I going to go to a doctor who says he thinks I'm, like, drug seeking, that he doesn't believe me, that he thinks my dose is too high, that he won't prescribe it for me, and that he wants me to leave. Like, who fucking knows which one it's going to be?
What the fuck? Also, what is the medication? It's not like it's fucking Oxy or something.
No, Jesus. I know. This isn't it the other thing?
Antipsychotic?
Yeah. So an antidepressant, an antipsychotic, and a sleeping medication.
Oh, my God.
None of which have, like, it's just a melatonin derivative sleeping medication, which isn't even on the fucking PBS. But it's like, it has no street value. It has no recreational purposes. It's completely safe. The other thing is if you don't want me to leave with, like, 70, or I think it's 84 pills of venlafaxine, because I can appreciate that that's a lot, which, like, one, taking 84 150 milligram tablets of venlafaxine won't kill you. Ask me how I know. And also, if you don't want to give me that many, that's fine. The chemist all the time is like, here's 1 week, see you in a week. Which, when I used to take much more powerful medications like Stilnox and Xanax, that's how they would do it. So, like, fuck you, doc, you jerk. It makes no sense.
Yeah, that just sounds like that guy's a fucking power-tripping, egomaniac, piece-of-shit asshole.
Yeah, I think also, like, when I went finally got a doctor who was actually an the emergency admitting doctor who said that he sometimes works for the community mental health people, and if they would bring over from another town the community mental health script pad that he could write the prescriptions for 1 month for all of my meds and provide a letter that I could take to a doctor that was like, this is confirmation of her medication regime, which I already have that from a million different doctors, but this time it would only be a month old. You know what I mean? And it would be from a doctor in Wangaratta.
Yeah.
Who, like, maybe they would have time to contact. I don't fucking know. I don't know how it works. Anyway, but so, like, he was really helpful. But, like, why does he even have to go through that fucking rigmarole? That's stupid. Why does he have to get someone to drive a pad over from... And even just for him to do that, he had to go through all of these weird things that you have to do if you're an ER doctor that you don't have to do if you're just a GP. Like, he had to get official records from hospitals. He couldn't just use the paperwork that I had. But he said if he'd seen me in a private clinic, he totally could have. It's just really dumb. Also, the nurse, the triage nurse from the mental health service, shout out Sue, what a fucking boss, called up the GP and was like, this is this is outrageous. You're incentivizing people to hurt themselves. Fuck you, you blah, blah, blah. She was like fully pissed at that doctor. She was awesome. So mad. She was like, I got to drive over from Shepparton. A third of the entire town is in isolation right now and I'm wasting my time driving. Like, she was really, she was really mad. She was good.
She sounds great.
Yeah. She, like, gave me all the details for how to complain about that doctor. She said prescribing hesitancy for mental health scripts was, like, a massive problem in the regions and attributed to, like, almost a daily presentation at the emergency department, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That is so dumb. The emergency department is already just so overrun because of the Roni.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Anyway, fuck that guy. God.
Yeah, fuck that guy. That's awful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you finally got your prescription and I'm sorry that it was just like such
3 days out of my life. Just pointless. Yeah. And as soon as I left, I was like, okay, well, this is day one, 27 days until I have to do this fucking shit all over again. God damn it. Just, and not even this one time, every month until I die.
Yeah.
Such a drag.
I mean, hopefully you find a doctor that is not a piece of shit and it becomes less and, like, you can get another 6 months, like, repeat or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, like, I've had this experience where a doctor was like, I'm not going to prescribe that for you. And I was like, that's chill. I'll just make an appointment with another doctor, like, anywhere, just down the road or whatever. And had them, the doctor that first refused to call the police and be like, I believe that this girl is going from doctor to doctor trying to get a script. When the police showed up at the second doctor's, I was like, yeah, I am doing that because I need my fucking antipsychotics. And not only that, I need them because at that time I was court ordered to take them. So, like, you should probably arrest me for not being on them right now because I'm breaking the law. Fucking idiot. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
That's
so frustrating.
That is really annoying. Yeah. Also, once I couldn't get my medication because my meds are really expensive unless you have a healthcare card.
Mm-hmm.
And for some odd reason, Centrelink had like cut me off. So I went to Centrelink and was like, look, I really need you to help me. I haven't taken my antipsychotics for today and I really need to. And then I waited for like forever, like 4 hours. Mm. And then I was like, I'm going fucking crazy here, man. Like, how much longer is this going to take? And the woman was like, can you tell me your CRN number? And I was like, I just picked up a chair and threw it at the window. We didn't break. It just bounced off. So it's shit. Then I was like, please call the police immediately. And when the police got there, they were like, what the fuck is the fucking deal? That girl just told us that she's going to die if she doesn't get her healthcare card. What is wrong with you people? Like, even the jacks were on my side. Which is wild. I can't believe the system is so bad that even the police are like, this is a bad system. Objectively, one of the worst systems in the world.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Also, the police were like, why did you throw that chair? I was like, so they would call you guys. So you could come, maybe action some changes. I don't know.
Maybe there's some things happening around here.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, thought maybe you'd come faster if they called you than if I did. I don't know.
Well, I remember like back in the day when you had to actually go into Centrelink every how often to like hand in your little book that you'd like written all of your job search activities in and all that stuff. And
yeah,
you had
the good
to, like,
old
stand
days.
In the line forever. The good old days. always the people who were like the most loud and obnoxious like got seen first. So you really,
yeah,
you were participating in like a time honored tradition of being a squeaky wheel that gets the grease.
Yeah,
at Centrelink,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Also, instead of having to deal with them, I just got to wait in the police car, and they let me connect my phone to their Bluetooth so I could play any music I wanted.
Great.
Yeah. I was like, fuck this. Next time I got to go to Centrelink, I'm definitely just going to attack a government building. This is way better. They weren't even mad at me for destroying government property. I mean, they were at the beginning, but then they chilled out.
That's good.
So anyway, what the hell? What kind of a system is like, yeah, it's just obviously so broken.
Yeah.
The best thing for me to have done, like the thing which would have saved me time, was just to like stop taking them. Go crazy. Get triaged immediately.
Like, yeah.
The amount of, like, it took me 3 days of like being annoyed and sitting around. And I was like, it's way more comfortable in the ambulance. Like, at least if you are in the ICU, you're laying down. It's like such a bad system. Anyway, my mom sent me a message that was like, I'm so proud of you for staying well, even though it's not incentivized at all.
Yeah.
What a sweetie. Shout out
That's
to mums.
Really nice. Yeah.
Do you think that we should ask the Doherty Institute if they could model how quickly the virus would spread if we had a mums exemption? Like, mums were just allowed to visit their children.
Yeah.
Wherever their kids are. Because I'd like to see my mum.
Yeah. I think that's definitely worth looking into.
Yeah. And also, sure. Like, they don't really get enough props in general. Maybe it's time. Oh, I can hear,
Coco.
You, Kitty.
Yeah.
Oh, Colin, little sweetie.
She's also annoyed that there's people in the backyard because she can't go out and poop.
Oh, she's a bit shy.
She's afraid of people, yeah.
She is a very loud purrer though, right?
Yeah, she is. I'm going to move her away from the phone a little bit. There we go.
So ever since then I've just been writing hundreds of angry letters.
Good.
I'm now.
You are really good at that.
Yeah, it's kind of my resting state. I'm now writing some letters to the PBS, that's the Prescription Benefit Scheme, to ask them to include a few medications that aren't included because of how many presentations are just for like withdrawal syndromes from antidepressants. And the medications that aren't on the PBS don't have terrible withdrawal syndromes. So do you know what I mean? Like, we don't fund medications that people keep taking because people keep taking them. So it's like very expensive.
Yeah.
And the body that deals with the prescription benefits scheme, that's the federal government. But you know who pays for emergency departments? That's the state government.
State government.
So disincentivized to actually keep people sane.
Can I tell you something that I read yesterday on Twitter?
Please.
About the federal state government thing. Gladys, what's her name? Wanted to, because of the lockdown.
We're on a first name basis these days. Have you noticed? Yeah. Everyone's just calling her Gladys.
Gladys. Bad time. Because they're hard to say.
Yeah, also bad time to be called Gladys. Gladys is the new bad Karen. Time.
Yeah. But they wanted to provide financial support for people because JobSeeker has been cut and JobKeeper doesn't exist anymore. The state government were like, please just give us the list of names of people who need financial support and we will provide it on a state level. And Scott Morrison was like, no. Because he didn't want to be seen to be not help. Like, he was like, it's going to be a bad look for me if the state just handles it on their own and I'm not involved. So he was like, no, let's not do that. Let's do something else.
Fuck
where I
guy.
Vaguely look like I'm helping. Yeah.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
What a piece of shit. Yeah. All they had to do was provide a list of names and lots of people could have been like,
I know,
in a much better position.
Which of those people now that they're not getting that money are like, but Scott Morrison's still an all right guy. Like,
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
understand how this really pisses me off that, like, inaction doesn't seem to have the same negative
the consequences
as someone doing something that makes you look bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
It's really fucking annoying.
Yeah. I went, so I'll tell you some little highlights from door knocking yesterday.
Okay, hit me.
We were door knocking in a very bougie area. Like, most of the houses, you couldn't actually get to their front door because they had like big fences and like no gates and no way of contacting the person inside.
Oh my God.
They're just like fortresses. So, and a lot of places had like an intercom thing where you had to like buzz and then just like talk into the intercom to say, hello, we're door knocking with the Greens. Do you have time for a couple of questions?
Yeah. I mean, aside from being like just absolute monsters because they're so wealthy, that is probably actually the Greens, you know, like that's.
What do you mean?
Well, like rich people, they vote for the Greens.
Oh, sure. Yeah, but not in this area. Like, it could have gone either way, but in this area it was like a strong Liberal seat.
Yeah, sure.
At the start of the day when we're at the cafe, like getting briefed or whatever, the guy who was organising it was like, listen, we don't usually go door knocking in this area. We may never go door knocking here again. We just want to get a read of like whether there's any point. So you'll probably get a lot of like people not interested in talking or a lot of people not answering the door or a lot of people like their house is completely inaccessible, but we just need to like check it out. And we're like, okay. So I went in with like low expectations and those were met. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. We talked to one lady who was really nice, who was like very green. Like, you can tell when you're walking up to a house,
yeah,
like this house had like, they were growing vegetables in their front yard. There was, like, kids' toys over there. They had a car that was, like, you know, fuel efficient or whatever. And we're like, okay, this is going to be fine. And we had, like, a nice conversation with her. She was very receptive. So that was nice. But she's not an Australian citizen, so that's no good for us. Anyway, and then we had a weird conversation through the first house that we knocked on. There was like an elderly lady who was in her dressing gown. She saw me through the window and she was like, oh, I can't answer the door. I haven't got dressed yet. She like had a chat with us through the window because the main thing that they wanted us to ask was, like, would you ever consider voting for the Greens so we could gauge, like, from on a scale of 1 to 5,
yeah,
how likely, how much it's worth going back there ever again.
Yeah.
And so I asked her that, and she just started kind of rambling about, I don't know, she seemed really nice. It was a shame that she wasn't dressed because we could have maybe had a chat. But, yeah, apart from those, oh, and there was one guy who we knocked on the door. He came out and he was like, we were like, do you have time for a couple of questions? He was like, yeah, I'd invite you in, but, you know, we've got the grandson here. Let me just grab some chairs. And he, like, had us all sit down on his front porch and have a chat. And he was, like, this liberal voting, like, he is, like, a big fan of the Liberal government, but he, like, hates Scott Morrison. He's, like, considering voting third party this election because he just hates Scott Morrison so much and thinks he's done such a shit job with coronavirus.
Yeah.
But all of his political views were kind of libertarian, small government, whatever, whatever. And he was obviously a dentist because he just kept going on about how putting dental into Medicare is just not possible. We could never afford it. Countries all over the world have tried and it never works out. And he knows for a fact that it's just impossible. You could never pay for it. That was his number one thing that he wanted to talk to us about.
What about just for under 18s? Also, Norway has fully comprehensive dental included in their universal healthcare. So yeah, that guy's just wrong.
Anyway. He's just wrong, but he was very convinced that he was correct. And yeah, that's what I kept saying.
Do you know what you could have said is something like,
incremental steps that we can take towards, like, and he's like, yeah, but I just don't think you should be, you know, saying these, like, unrealistic things that puts people off. And I was like, well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, also, like, in America they think that they can't afford universal health care at all, so yeah, like, obviously the idea of something being affordable, it's like a bit of a moving target. Yeah, isn't it? It's like, yeah, you can, if you don't just, yeah, if you don't, yeah, if you've already decided that you don't want to pay for something, all the things that come after that are irrelevant, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's like,
it's just a political choice. And he was like, because, you know, when they try and do dental in other countries, like, it's substandard, like the NHS dental thing is not good because they don't, like, it's underfunded and they don't pay the dentist enough. And I was like, well, there you go. That's the problem, is it's underfunded. It's not that the whole system is, like, impossible and can never work. It's that they haven't prioritized it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the other thing that we can take away from the idea of, like, this isn't affordable, like, the government can't afford it, is, like, well, let's look at what the government's income, like, revenue streams are, because if they don't have enough money to afford it, like, maybe that's where the problem is, actually.
Yeah.
So you look at somewhere like Norway, which has decided that it can afford it fully comprehensively. Mm. Not only that, but, like, they send everyone to university for free and they have, like, really broad welfare programs, etc. And it's because they have a really high, like, really wealthy government, because the government took all of the profits from its oil reserves. Like, it just nationalized them. So, like, we tried to introduce a tax on mining and it was, like, totally slammed and destroyed. So, like, I don't know, this idea that things, like, aren't affordable is usually like, actually just an excuse for there not being any political will.
Exactly. 100% of the time that's the case.
You know, just and if a million percent when that time. Guy says we would never be able to afford it, like, if you try to turn the conversation to how the government makes money or where government revenue comes from, or, like, what it's acceptable to have socialized or, like, state run, or, like, what it's possible for the government to profit from, you often, like, find that people who are in favor of fewer programs are also not in favor of, like, increasing revenue for the government. So, like, they've pretty much already made the decision, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, he was like, he was also like, you know, I'm in favor of a wealth tax and I think there should be, you know, more taxes on certain people and corporations, but, like, I don't want to give that money to the government because they're just fucking useless. Like, there's got to be somewhere else. And I was just like, okay, well, you're a lost cause. Like, you think that politics shouldn't exist, I guess, and we shouldn't, like, you're just a libertarian, you know? is just like a self-made dentist who thinks that he's got the answers to all the world's problems and
whatever. Self-made dentist, clearly boomer. Anyway, he probably got his education for free. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, he's probably real depressed as well. Did you tell him that there's help if he needs it? That suicide is not the answer?
Definitely not depressed. He's definitely having a very nice time of his life.
Dentists kill themselves all the time.
That's true. That's true. It's true. Well, I think he's retired. He worked
all the time looking in people's mouths. It's terrible.
He said he worked for the university training people for a while, and now he's retired, so he's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, but overall,
I was talking to a libertarian recently who said, I was like, who will protect property rights, right? you're really in favor of people owning stuff. What will stop me from stealing your, when you own your house, how will you demonstrate to me that you own it if I come in and say that I own it and you got to get out? And he was like, yeah, well, of course, we will just pay money to a non-interested third party and they will be responsible for maintaining, things like property rights. And I was like, that, what you have just described, is a government. A non-interested third party, will they be elected? Who will decide who the non-interested third party is? How will we oversee that they don't become corrupt themselves? We have some kind of checks and balances. What kinds of decisions will they make? Will it be a jury of your peers, for example, or just a particularly educated law, individual? We could have a panel of 7 people who are very credible about the law. That could be a lifetime appointment. Because what you have just invented is a judiciary, legislature, whatever. It's just crazy to me. Disinterested third party that we all pay money to. Should the money be paid on some kind of sliding scale? Should it be determined by how much property you own, for example? For fuck's sake. Libertarians are so dumb.
I know, they're the worst. Holy shit.
Yeah. They're close. Yeah. Oh, you know what I mean? But they just
also at the start of the day, I've never been door knocking before, so the thing was that you would get paired with somebody experienced to go with you to show you the ropes or whatever. And so I don't know if I already mentioned, I was door knocking with the candidate for that area.
Oh, wow.
And she at the cafe, she was like, I'll go with you, and picked me, and I was like, okay, great, this is so great, I'm gonna be door knocking with someone who's super experienced and knows all of the facts, and it's gonna be so good. And then we got in the car and she was like, I've never been door knocking before, I'm really nervous. And I was like, oh god. No,
maybe that's why she shows you.
Yeah, well, it turned out, firstly, that I'm quite good at door knocking. I didn't feel nervous at all.
Yeah.
Maybe she felt nervous because she's the candidate, so it kind of, even though it's not real, but it's there's a sense of personal acceptance or rejection or something, which I didn't have at all because I was like, I'm just here to collect data.
Yeah, also, I feel like you could be like, oh, look, the Greens have this stance on that. I don't think it's I'd like it to be more, but that's not what the current candidates are. It's just not the political will for that. Whereas if you're the candidate, you have to be like, I'm totally in favor of the party. The party's nailing it, which is not very good.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so she was, I could tell she was nervous when we were talking to people, but I also didn't feel I felt like she was the one that had to lead. I just didn't feel like it was right for me to lead when she was the candidate. So anyway, she would start off the conversation for the few people that actually talked to us, and then I would jump in and ask all the questions to collect all the data, have you ever considered voting for the Greens? So we were a good team, because she, on the occasions where people did actually talk to us and wanted to know facts, she knew all of them and I didn't know anything. And then I just did all the the boring data collection questions. So yeah, it worked cool. out really well.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it was good. I don't think I'd be good at collecting the data.
That was my strong suit for sure. And
yeah, I'd need to be door knocking with someone like you.
Yeah, I think we would make a good team as well. But so the neighborhood that we did was like extremely hostile, apart from like those three people. But I would definitely do it again. I would love to do it in a place that is less bougie. And like,
yeah, I mean, obviously class. One of the things about door knocking that I think you need to appreciate, it's the same as when you work phones, right? Because I've worked phones a lot more than I've been door knocking. And and it's like, yeah, look, whether or not you want to vote for this candidate, it's really fucking annoying to get called on the phone, isn't it? Like, yeah. You kind of have to just accept that, like, you are imposing upon people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I hate, totally. It's like if... I mean, a guy came to our house one time and was like, I guarantee you that I can save you $50 off of your electricity bill. And I said to him, I would pay $50 for you to go away right now. So there's no incentive for me to keep talking to you. You cannot offer me enough of the saving for it to be worth having this conversation with you. He was absolutely flummoxed. But I was like, I guarantee most of the people who turn you away feel as I do and just are too polite to tell you.
Oh, or, sure.
Or, like, and can't deal with the cognitive dissonance, you know? Like,
yeah.
Think that they want to save money but actually don't care about it.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people who answered the door, and then we were like, we're with the Greens, and they were like, oh, I'm really busy. And as they were closing the door in our faces, I'd be like, have you ever considered voting for the Greens? And lots of them were like, oh, some of them would be like, no, not really, and then close the door. And then other people were just like, no, but like with anger, like you could feel in their voice, like disgusting, as if, how would you, like, yeah. And it was just so interesting how vehemently, like how angry you could feel some people were at the concept of like the Greens as a party at all. Yeah. It was so weird. I mean,
you can kind of imagine someone coming to your door and asking if you'd ever vote for the LNP and being like, get fuck off my fucking lawn.
Yeah,
how dare you?
Yeah, you're right.
Do you know what I mean? Just, I would just be weird like, to me you're that an people absolute feel that way about crap. Them.
Yeah, but why did they? Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's my inability to see things from their point of view.
The main criticisms I see for the Greens are from the Labor Party because they know they just bleed support left.
Yeah.
And like, good. But we have the preferential Labor Party voting, are totally so whatever. Fucked. Yeah. Also, you're losing support to the left constantly. Have you not ever thought about maybe altering some of your positions towards the left rather than just, like, shouting across, like, do you know what I mean? They have so much less hatred for the Liberal Party because they know they don't lose voters to the Liberal Party. Those people were mostly always going to vote for the Liberal Party anyway.
Yeah, yeah. The one last the Labor lady Party's so I... Shit. Yeah,
sorry.
It really sucks. One lady who I asked, would you ever consider voting for the Greens, answered, that's a personal question, and then closed the door in my face. Which is such a weird response, I think. It kind of, like, signals that maybe she feels like I would judge her if she told me that she would never consider voting for the Greens, or I'm not sure. It's really weird. Or,
I mean, other people have, like, weird things where, like, they feel... Like, I would say I would never consider voting for the Liberal Party, that therefore I've, like, hamstrung myself. And it's kind of, like, in a weird way, true. Do you know what I mean? Like, you think about how when, like, I have a lot of respect in a weird sort of a way for voters of the right in America, because if the Republicans don't act the way they want, or if they don't feel like they're vehement enough, they just don't show up. Like, they're not that worried about progressive candidates being elected. They're more scornful of right-wing candidates who are not right-wing enough. Whereas, like, the left are like, we've got no other option. What are we going to do? Vote for Trump? That's crazy. Obviously, we're going to vote for Biden, even though he's, like, a totally compromised piece of shit. You know, like, the right in America doesn't act like that.
Yeah.
The Democrats know that they're not going to lose the left. Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I kind of have a lot of time for people who are like, I'm not voting. I don't care if Trump gets in. Biden's, like, not... It doesn't make that much difference.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, participating in a system that's, like, super broken.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The Labour Party, what a total disappointment. Some guy from the CFMEU, his wife was like, oh, yeah, he was abusive. That's why I'm leaving him. And he used CFMEU, like, press releases to be like, my wife's a lying bitch. None of this really happened. So fucked. Like, god damn it. I'm not against the union movement, but I just think, like, if you're a feminist in the union movement, you've really got it coming at you from both sides, don't you?
Yeah. Speaking of the CFMEU, remember I mentioned the communist soup kitchen thing that I volunteered at before?
Yep.
In Whitmore Square in Adelaide. They've been in the news recently because the DHS is trying to shut them down.
Oh my god.
Yeah, this woman who's like the head of, I'm gonna get this wrong, but she's like the head of health and human services or something for Adelaide, or maybe on a state level, I'm not sure. Anyway, she lives quite close to Whitmore Square, and she's a co-owner of the pub that's on Whitmore Square called Spark. And she showed up in person there one Sunday to be like, what's going on here? This isn't okay. You're creating – the issues that she had with it was, one, it's making too many Indigenous people congregate in one place and causing violence, which is untrue.
What? It doesn't – yeah. Those are non sequiturs.
Well, because there's like – apparently there's some state initiative at the moment to, like, people, like, Indigenous people from Port Augusta and stuff come down, and Alice come down to Adelaide, and apparently the state government is concerned that those communities come down to Adelaide, and then there's like fights between communities and it's violence and something, I don't know. So that's like an issue that they have decided that they need to deal with. And so anytime there's like Indigenous people anywhere in the city, they're fucking freaking out because I don't know, whatever, they're obviously just racist. But and then the other thing she said was that it was creating a culture of dependency, like people becoming dependent on the food.
Oh, my god. The human body has a fucking dependency. You didn't create that. Doesn't make sense. Fuck me. Yeah. Creating a culture of dependency.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, she was like, it has to be shut down. Definitely nothing to do with the fact that she doesn't like seeing poor people when she goes for a walk through the park, or that she doesn't like the effect that poor people being around has on the profitability of the business that
you should have told her that actually those homeless people are a visible deterrent for the entire community to remind them to get up every day and go to work, because they're, but for the grace of God, go them. Should have been like, yeah, actually, exactly. You're very wealthy and you probably benefit from the economy that relies on these people existing. So this is actually pretty good for you.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, such assholes.
Yeah, they've been told that they should move to they're allowed to do it, just not in the city. They have to move to the outskirts of the city to a place.
Are you just going to keep doing it though?
Oh yeah, they're just going to keep doing it. And all the reason it reminded me is because the CFMEU came out in support of the Communist Party soup kitchen at Whitmore Square somehow. I don't know. Yeah, they're pro-communist soup kitchen.
Yeah. Who is against? I'm actually really glad that the communists are doing a soup kitchen. It's one of the things that always really pisses me off is that, like, religious organizations so frequently are seen as the only groups that offer services like that.
Yeah.
When actually...
And actually, the reason that they do it on a Sunday in the city is because all of the other services that people, unhoused people normally rely on and don't operate on a Sunday because they're all religious.
Yeah, that is just so dumb, isn't it? God.
It's really stupid. Yeah. Terrible. Yeah, so they're like,
that's consciously created.
They consciously chose that spot because there are other services for unhoused people in that area, and they're filling a gap on a Sunday where services aren't available.
Hey, so Sam, they're there for a reason. Is the preferred nomenclature these days unhoused people?
I don't know. That's just what people that I've been talking to have been saying. So that's what I've been doing. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who
knows? Do whatever you reckon.
Yeah, I mean, we're really at risk of euphemizing our humanity right out of ourselves, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, Lucas's was like my wife's bipolar, and people are like, we prefer people first language. And he's always like, I said my wife before her disorder. Like, that's a human position that she occupies. Anyway, he doesn't give a shit about that. And he doesn't go to the, like, we can't go to the community, like, disability support here because all they do is police people's language. People who don't really like talking that much. Bad move.
Yeah, real bad move.
So that's a rule. That's, like, not a thing that we do in this house.
Fair.
Unless you feel personally offended. It's no need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sometimes we do this, okay? Oh, apparently we're not allowed to say that anymore. Which is like the reason why we decided that you can say it like that is because it's not from a position of preaching. It's like we together all have made the mistakes in the past and together we'll correct them. So it's like laughing with somebody, but it's like being wrong with somebody.
Yeah. Totally. That's well, yeah, I mean, all of that, like, preferred, like, the, you know, the most woke way to say things kind of thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when POC started being a thing, or people of color started being a thing, my friend in the States who is half Native American and half Black was like, you guys realize how close people of color sounds to colored people, right?
Yeah. I know. Like,
it makes me feel uncomfortable when you
when I would say it. And by the way, I started saying it when I was like 18, which is like, I guess pretty early in the piece. It was. Yeah. I also still used to call things gay when I was 18. So, like, what? That's weird to think that those two things are happening simultaneously. And Paul was like, that is crazy. All the terms you use are insane. Which apparently we're not allowed to say anymore.
Yeah, you're not allowed to call things crazy. I have started, I've tried and use wild instead of crazy.
Me but too.
Sometimes
yeah.
you just have to say crazy.
But I just don't care, also. Yeah. As a terminally crazy person, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, this is one thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately, actually, is that people, I don't know, just like getting cancelled, people are so worried about getting cancelled because they're worried that the kind of like, I think the underlying thing is that there's kind of this weird sense that there's a correct way to do things, or there's like a correct, you know, set of words, and there's like a set of rules that if you follow them then you're like a good woke person. But actually it's so individual and so based on like person to person and different communities and different experiences, and it's really kind of counterproductive to get to like convince yourself that there's a correct way of doing it and then to feel bad if you're not doing it the correct way. It's all bullshit. It's
also like, as a white person, whenever you encounter a person of color or a group, like an organization or like an I work with Indigenous theater companies or whatever, and I've had to train myself out of this urge that I have, which is to be like, but you guys think I'm a good white person, right? Because absolutely not. Why would they think that about you? You're just another fucking white person. And you're probably equally as shit. And also, it's not occurring to them. They're not, like, categorizing people into the good white ones and the bad white ones. It's not, like, a group of racists that they know exist and you've somehow, like, demonstrated yourself to be separate from that. Of course not. What they say usually is, like, hey, not, don't do X thing. We don't like that white person shit, right? They're like, don't you do this behavior that white people generally do. And it's like, okay, it's not that you're going to distinguish yourself as one of the not racist. You're definitely racist. There's no chance that you aren't. But, like, what they're, like, looking at is whether or not you participate in these behaviors that they've, like, they've identified as not liking. It's like you're not going to distinguish yourself as, like, the crowned white person who can, like, be representative of people of color.
Yeah.
They don't, it's not, it doesn't fucking work like that. And also, why do you have to see every goddamn struggle of minorities through the myopic lens of your own personal identity? Like, that this is, like, somehow in the struggles of Indigenous people is actually a personal test through which you can demonstrate that you are a good person. It's like when George Floyd died and all those people were like, these are the books that I'll be reading this summer. And it's like, this isn't a white person book club for you to, like, educate yourself. A man is dead. Like, why does it always have to be through your myopic lens of personal fulfillment and enlightenment? Fuck you. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Someone
tweeted recently that their least favorite kind of political commentary was, like, pretty tame, but just swearing a lot. And I was like, oh my God, that is me. I hate this. I can't handle it. Like, just lib-brained, but with the F word. And I was like, that's our whole fucking podcast. I can't handle it. No.
Nah, we're all right. We also talk about other things. Yes. Cats.
Also, I don't know. Maybe we're not as, hopefully, we're not just lib-brained idiots.
Hopefully.
Like, centrists that swear, I understand that that's unacceptable, but. Oh, my God. Can you imagine how offended you'd be if someone called you a centrist?
I don't know. I don't think I'd probably get offended because they'd just be wrong. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
It's one of my great fears.
There's still so many people in my house, Ainsley. When are they going to fucking leave?
I'm really sorry. Why don't you just go and ask them if they can go home? It's not really acceptable.
Eventually I will. I'm going to go to the shop now and instead of cooking my lunch for the week, I'm just going to buy a lot of healthy fruits and vegetables to eat for lunch.
So that good idea.
Be out there amongst the munters.
I'm going to make some marmalade. I'm going to make actually a mandarin sort of jam.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that I'm also going to watch the Osprey cam because they're laying some eggs, I think, and Ospreys are total weirdos.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Well,
I'll send you some links to some good Osprey cams.
Okay.
Lucas once asked if he could have some alone time, and I spied on him through the caravan window to see if he was looking up, like, I don't know. I just wanted to see what his pornography search terms were. Like if he was searching for, like, girls degraded piss cam or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what people are searching. I'm a complete moron for stuff like that. Lucas had to tell me what a cream pie was recently. I was disgusted. Why would anyone be looking that up? It's horrible. Anyway. So I went around the caravan and looked, like, peered in the window and he was just watching a nest cam.
Just having some quiet time watching some birds.
No, jacking it. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be so mad that I insinuated he was masturbating to a nest cam. Whenever Elfie's in love with Lucas, right? And whenever she's like trying to do a little love dance for him or something, and I make a joke about how he should just give it up, he's like, "You're wrecking birds, stop it." Just put out, babe. Stop it. You're wrecking it. You're wrecking my relationship with birds.
Don't wreck his relationship with birds.
Yeah, it would be tragic. Absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of feedback for the pod. Can I tell you before you go?
Yeah, I'll just be brief, but I can hold on.
Okay, this will be really fast. Okay, so a little bit of feedback I got was, if we don't know any of the details of something, can we not include the discussion of that in the pod? For example, if we're like, I don't know, didn't you see that woman? She was like on the news and she said, you know, she was like a redhead. She said, "This isn't going to work. Queensland's got to shut its borders or whatever." Anyway, that woman's wrong. And they were like, "What is that about? I don't understand that story." And I was like, "Well, I don't know. Just Google it, man. Like,
yeah.
What's your major malfunction? You've got the internet."
My parents also had the same feedback. They don't want us to talk about things that we don't know about. And to that I say, too bad.
Yeah. It's
gonna happen anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. Also, sorry, it's about like, it. Obviously, like, two things are happening. One is I'm talking to you. So if you're like, "Hang on, what are you talking about? I don't understand."
Yeah.
Then you'll just tell me. But if I know what you're talking about, I'll be like, what's up with that redhead lady? She sucks. You're probably talking about Maurice Payne, and she does suck.
Listen, if you want to listen to a well-researched podcast where the people know what they're doing, there's about 500 million of them out there. You can go listen to any one of those. If you want to listen to two friends having a chat, there's also 500 million of those. And you can listen to this one if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one I think is pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right. You got any song suggestions?